Let's just bow our heads a moment. Father, just pray for your anointing upon me and upon everyone here, that the things that you want us to take away from this message will be what we take away. And Lord, we just ask you to give us a heart to receive from you, and a soft heart, not a hard heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Pam, I think I'm going to just have to let you do it. Okay, I'm going to speak on God, the Holy Spirit, and we'll look at four different topics. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is his ministry? How do we interact with him? And what does he do for us? Well, who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third part of the Trinity. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times I hear people, they seem to talk about Holy Spirit as just some spirit, instead of thinking of him as a person. But he's one of the three persons of the Godhead. And you know, we could spend a whole morning talking just about the Trinity, but basically, God exists in three persons, three distinct personalities or persons, but there's only one God. And I know at one time I used to think, well, God showed himself to us in three different ways, but that's not quite true. He really is three separate persons, but one God. And we can't really quite get our heads around that, but that's the truth of the Trinity. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And this is truth that's not negotiable. Francis Schaeffer used to call it true truth. And John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He's also a seal or guarantee of our salvation. You know, I know on my passport I have the seal of the United States of America, and kings put their seal on things. It's not only a seal of ownership, that's part of it, but a guarantee also. So he guarantees our salvation with that seal. Ephesians 1:13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Then the next one, I'm going to read the scripture first, John 14:26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This word that's translated in NIV as advocate, some translations use comforter, some use helper, but the parakletos, the Greek word, actually means all those things. So this is one of those places where it's hard to take one word from the Greek and transfer it into just one English word, because it really takes a bunch of English words to describe him. Next. I like the fact that right in the very first verse in the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I was almost going to put a picture of that I have of a chicken, one of our hens on the farm, when she had a bunch of little chicks around her. She kind of hovered over them. But I also see this as God taking something that hasn't been formed yet and bringing order to it. And I believe that's one of the things he does in our lives too. He brings order to our lives. And finally, he's a person. Again, I always get annoyed, I guess, when I hear people talk about Holy Spirit as an it rather than a him. But he's a person, and as a person, he can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with you whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So what is his ministry? John 14:15-17 says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." He's our constant companion. He's always there with us. I had a boss at work when he finally recognized who the Holy Spirit was. He called him Joe. And the reason he did that was Joe was his best friend. and he liked to think of the Holy Spirit as his best friend who was always beside him. Now, you know, God is God. He's not just like a man or friend would be. He's more than that. But still, it was a nice way to look at that. That's why I like the word paracletus, because I always think of that as meaning one who goes beside you. And I like to think of the Holy Spirit as going beside me. He's my constant companion. I need to listen to him all the time, because he's always speaking to us. We're not always heeding what he says, but he is always speaking to us. Next, he teaches us all things and reminds us of everything that Jesus said. John 14:26. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." We really see that in the book of Acts, where these supposedly unlearned disciples knew so many deep things of the Bible or of the scriptures of that time, because the Holy Spirit reminded them of what Jesus said. and you know, John says in the end of his gospel, if we were to write down everything that Jesus said and did, the whole world wouldn't be able to hold all the books. So they had a wealth of knowledge that the Holy Spirit reminded them of. He does that for us too. Like Alex was talking about witnessing, you know, there's times when we need a scripture, or we need something. The Holy Spirit will bring that to mind if we've been reading our Bible and it's in there somewhere. Next, he testifies about Jesus. John 15:26 says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So it's interesting. There almost seems to be a hierarchy in the Trinity. The Son glorifies the Father, and the Spirit glorifies the Son. And in fact, that's the next point here. And he glorifies Jesus. John 16:14 says, He, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So Jesus is the head of the church, will pass a message to the Holy Spirit who will pass it on to us. How do we interact with Holy Spirit? This scripture in Hebrews 3:15 and 19 says, as has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness, and to whom God, whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we need to not only obey immediately, but we need to mix that obedience with faith. I always see faith and obedience as being really strongly coupled. When we're really moving in faith, I think obedience has to be right in there. Like I can think of a time once when God told me to go to a neighbor's house, and this man was a Christian, and to pray for him. And I went over there and found out that he just had this excruciating headache. And I don't know if it was a migraine headache or what. But I laid hands on him and prayed for him, and God immediately healed him. And I just saw that as a combination of obedience and faith. Because I've laid hands on other people other times and nothing has happened. So it's not like that happens every time. But that, to me, there's a real strong coupling between faith and obedience. The next one is, do not grieve him. We grieve him when we ignore his voice, when we don't do what he's telling us to do, when we stand against his commandments. Isaiah 63:8-10 says, he said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Now, you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes there'll be maybe a word of prophecy that someone in the body gives. If we don't heed that and take that to heart and just kind of ignore it or you know, push it off, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Next is this is a little bit like what I've said before, but always think of him as one who goes beside us to encourage, empower, and help us as we strive to do God's will. Galatians 5:16-18 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I was kind of thinking of that when we sang that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And, you know, everything else kind of fades. You can't be sinning if you have your eyes on Jesus. And let's see, I had another, oh, the other thought I had there was, it's talking about that our old self and spirit, our spirit are in conflict with each other. And that's kind of normal for that conflict to take place. And I can remember a story that I read about a missionary was talking to someone, a native that he had was part of his ministry. And this guy says, I feel like I have two dogs fighting inside me, kind of describing this battle. And so missionary says, well, what do you do? And he says, I feed the one that I want to win. But, it's kind of a little bit of a funny story, but, we need to feed our spirit. Like Alex was saying, we need to be in the Word, and we need to feed our spirit, so make our spirit strong. So that's the one that wins that battle. And then we pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, So what shall we do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. And this is such good practical advice. You aren't sure what to pray for, pray in the Spirit. And then God will show you, in your mind, He'll show you what you should be praying for. Then you can pray in English. So it's just practical. Okay, and then what does He do for us? Well, He gives us fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then I don't have it on the view graph, but John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit, but we also have fruit that will last. And then the next one, he gives us power. And I didn't look it up, but I know this comes from the word that we use for dynamite, the Greek word dumo for power. So this is dynamite power that he gives us. And this is really the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, well, tongues is. Well, we see in Acts there are many times when that was the manifestation. But Scripture really says that you will receive power in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then in Luke 10:19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I think this is so important. I know in Bible study fellowship, they talk a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit and how, if you're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're deficient. That's not good. And like Alex was talking again about witnessing, we need to witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then from the Luke verse, we have power to overcome sin in our lives too. That's part of that power package. good package. Then he gives us words when we need them. Again, that speaks to that witnessing. You know, I'm sure you've all done that. You've started talking to someone and you don't even know where those words came from, because the Holy Spirit gave you the words to say, the right words, the right situation. So you can't get puffed up or proud about it, because it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. Luke 12, 11 and 12 says, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." I know I'm sure you've all experienced that, but I've just experienced that. I've said something to someone, then I wondered, where did that come from? I know where it came from. And he helps us when we don't know how to pray. Romans 8:26, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." And again, sometimes that turns into praying in the Spirit and then praying with understanding too. And then finally, I didn't want to put all those scriptures on there, but so I just kind of enumerated the gifts of the Spirit. But he gives us gifts of the Spirit. He gives us wisdom. And I like in James where it says, if you lack wisdom, just ask God and he'll give you wisdom. That's one prayer that I've seen answered so many times, I can believe that one real easily. When I need prayer, I need wisdom, I ask. I remember one time at work, I was working with another engineer on a project, and it was kind of a knotty project. And I prayed. And this other engineer, who actually became my supervisor later on, was not a believer. I prayed and asked for wisdom, and you know, within a fairly short time, we had it solved. And he had to remind me. He said, "Bob, that's what you prayed for, isn't it? And God answered that." And he gives us knowledge. To me, knowledge is to know about something that's going to happen or event, and wisdom is to know how to handle it. What do we do about it? And he gives us a gift of faith. Now, these gifts, I believe they're available to everyone, that he kind of drops different ones of these on us at different times. It's not like we own the gift. It's his gift. But he kind of, you know, maybe today he'll give you a gift of faith and tomorrow he'll give you a gift of prophecy. I remember years ago, I used to get strep throat and I probably shared this with some of you, but I used to get strep throat, it seemed like, every spring when the air conditioner came on. And maybe because I was going to work, whatever. But I got it every year. And this one year, our pastor's wife, when we were up in Cambridge, prayed for me for God to take away the strep throat. And instantly, he gave me faith to believe that I was healed, even though I had the symptoms for another like week or maybe 2 weeks. I still had, but I knew that he had healed me. He gave me that gift of faith. And I have never had strep throat since then. And that was back in like 76 maybe. So when God heals, he heals. It doesn't come back. Or at least that's been my experience. He gives a gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, gift of discerning spirits. Is this spirit the Holy Spirit from the Lord, or is this spirit a demon spirit? And then gift of tongues and gift of interpreting tongues. And kind of want to leave you with, we should be open to the spiritual gifts that he wants to give us. We're told in 1 Corinthians 14 to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now, you know, we had a song that says, "Seek the giver, not the gifts," and that's really important. You know, the gifts are subordinate to the giver. But the scripture does say eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, because prophecy is something that builds up the body, that helps other people. So, amen. Let's pray in closing here. Father, we just thank you again for this day. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent Holy Spirit to be in our lives, to live with us, go beside us, to help us, comfort us. And I hope that we all understand just a little bit better of how his ministry operates in us. Amen. And go in the power of the Holy Spirit this week. And receive what he has for you. Amen.